The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us this morning from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and she saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran, and she went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out, and they came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but he didn't go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb, and he saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived to the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. My brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
We were taught that Peter was the first pope. He's the first pope. But we often even think of him as the chief of the disciples, the spokesperson for the disciples, I suppose. And he may have indeed been the loudest among them, or the most confident among them, or even the most dedicated. But apparently he wasn't the fastest. It was the other disciple who was faster, the one beloved of God, of Jesus, who outran Peter on Easter morning, so it says in this Gospel of John. The faster disciple reached the tomb first, and he waited outside. He didn't go in. But true to form, here comes Peter, he arrives, and he plunges right into the tomb. And he looks around, and he looks around. And what did he see? Nothing. He saw nothing. Nobody. There was no body. There was no corpse. There was no risen Christ. There were no angels. Nothing. He saw nothing but the linen wrappings that covered Jesus' body. Try to put that in your mind, your imagination. You're there with him. You go into that tomb as well, and what do you see? You see nothing. Nothing but empty wrappings. I mean, if you put yourself there, can you feel the emptiness of that moment? Perhaps the despair or the heartbreak. And eventually the unnamed disciple joined Peter inside. And that disciple, it seems, he wasn't not only the faster of the two running, but he was faster than Peter when it came to belief. He believed, even though he did not understand. You know, many of us, if we're honest and we're brave enough, we can admit that, yeah, I feel like that disciple. I don't understand. We believe that Easter is important. I mean, look, you're here to celebrate, so it must be important to you. We believe something truly significant happened. But if you're like me, you're not sure that you understand. What was the point of it? I'm a preacher, and I read theologians, and theologians and preachers, they tell us that Easter proves something. Perhaps the victory of Christ over sin and death, huh? Or maybe just the power of God, or the reality of our own resurrection someday. But if you like me, you go, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. If the resurrection proves something, how do you prove the resurrection? How do you prove something based on something else that you can't prove? Maybe, just maybe, instead of proving something, Easter is supposed to show us something. Show us something, something that maybe has always been true, but we haven't seen it. We don't see it. If that's the case, and I believe it is with probably many of you like me, what might the stories of Easter be trying to show us today? What might the stories of Easter try to be telling us something today? What is it? Well, let me go back 2020 to the encyclical of Pope Francis, Fratelli Tutti. He gives us a possible answer to the question that I have. In his closing prayer, this is how he prays. And this is how perhaps we can pray as well. Francis says, "Grant that we Christians may live the gospel, discovering Christ in each human being, recognizing him crucified in the sufferings, in the abandoned, in the forgotten of this world, and also risen in each brother or sister who has made a new start." Beautiful prayer. This beautiful prayer suggests at least part of what crucifixion and empty tomb are trying to show us. First, in the crucifixion, we see that God is suffering. God is suffering in and with humans as we suffer. In all of our human crucifixions, all of our crucifixions that are going on in this world right now, racism, injustice, poverty, oppression, violence, abandonment, misunderstanding, mean-spiritedness, hate. You know, about 10 years after running to the tomb and plunging himself in, like the proverbial bull in a china shop, Peter took another trip about 10 years later. This time, he wasn't so confident. You might say that he dragged his feet all the way. At the very least, we say that he was filled with second thoughts. But he did it. He was an observant Jew, and he entered the home of a Gentile, a Roman centurion named Cornelius. And once he was inside Cornelius's home, he looked over the room full of Cornelius's family and servants and associates, and he realized that he used to think of these Gentiles like they were second-class citizens. They were outsiders. They were the other. They were dirty, unclean, unacceptable. But now he's beginning to see them differently. He realizes that when Christ died and rose, Christ died and rose for and with them too. For and with all people, Christ died and was risen. No discrimination. No partiality, no favorites, no exclusion, and no exceptions. Everyone. You know, back at the time, that Easter morning, he didn't see this yet. He didn't get it all and all at once. It took time for Peter to change and to see things differently. Gradually, over many years, Peter came to understand what we are all being shown every Passion Week, that God is with us, that God is with all of humanity, from the very beginning of history to the end of history, God will be with us. God truly cares for all of us, not some of us, all of us, those who sleep on streets and those who live in mansions, those in Congress and those in prison. Those dressed in gowns and tuxedos and expensive restaurants, and thirsty refugees who are in rags being held in a detention center at a border. Whatever our race, whatever our religion, whatever our politics, whatever our gender, our occupation, our education, or our age, the brave and the timid, the rich and the poor, the fast and the slow, everyone is included. So, my brothers and sisters, this Easter, perhaps you can stop worrying about what Easter proves. Instead, consider what it shows you. Consider what it's trying to help you to see. And then perhaps you can pray as Pope Francis prays, grant that we Christians may live the gospel, discovering Christ in every and each human being, recognizing him in the crucified and in the suffering of the abandoned and the forgotten of our world, risen in each brother and sister who makes a new start. Could it be that God is trying to show us? Not that Jesus, that just Jesus rose back on that first Easter morning, but that in all of humanity, Christ is rising again, making a new start for humanity, always, everywhere, even here and now, in me and in you. Could that be? You know, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate our own resurrection when we come to the Eucharist banquet. We celebrate what we are in the most profound sense. We are the risen ones, even though it has not yet become apparent. But it will. He is risen, and so are you. Hallelujah.